This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi everyone, I'm Rita Reimers. I am a certified cat behaviorist and you're here with 19 Cats and Counting. We have a wonderful guest on today. We've had her on before, Stacey LeBaron. We're going to talk all about a cause that's near and dear to my heart, TNR. We'll be back right after this commercial.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting and my special guest, Stacey LeBaron. I admire what you do, TNR. And a lot of people, it amazes me, don't know what that means.
Yeah, so Rita, thank you so much for having me on the show today. I really appreciate all that you do for cats.
Thank you.
You wear what we are at the Community Cats Podcast, which is all about turning your passion for cats into action. And so you do it, your listeners do it, and so many of your listeners, as well as the listeners for the podcast and, that I'm involved with, is Trap, Neuter, Return. So TNR. And we do, it's basically where you have outdoor cats that folks are feeding. Oftentimes, there's usually five or six different folks feeding cats that are outdoors, and you're getting them trapped using a humane trap and getting them neutered and vaccinated for distemper and rabies, as well as having a bit of an ear tip. So an ear tip is a little bit of a cut on the cross of the ear.
I have one with the ear tip.
Right. So actually at our cat conference we had a couple weekends ago, we had a photo contest for the sexiest ear tip.
Oh.
And so
I'm sorry, I missed that. I could have entered my Rosie.
And so, you know, there are many people who know that if you see a cat that has this flat cut on the ear, that they understand that that cat has been spayed or neutered. And so they're not contributing to the cat overpopulation situation in the country. Many people don't understand that in a lot of communities, we do have cat overpopulation.
Yes.
We do have kittens being born under a deck or under a shed. Oftentimes it's in our lower income communities. And
yes,
those are areas where we don't have many veterinarians or access to affordable vet care is really out of the reach for a lot of folks. And so Trap, Neuter, Return has been developed as a humane method for controlling cat overpopulation.
Even where I live, I'm in a small town in South Carolina, Lancaster, and we have one veterinarian, and I know they're overworked. I think there's five in the practice. They're always looking to hire more, but there are so many cats and kittens and dogs and cats that are just left to fend for themselves. A lot of people think you can just put a cat outside and he'll be fine. That's not true.
Right. Right. And unfortunately, folks feel pressed sometimes if they're in a rental and they have an unneutered cat and that cat starts spraying in the house and they feel like they don't have an option or opportunity to connect with the sheltering system, you know, then they may be like, okay, kitty, you go outside. And I sometimes call that the Adam cat. If it's an unneutered male cat who's spraying in the house, you let Adam out. And then down the street, Eve is in heat. And, you know, so she's howling and, you know, behaving in a crazy way. And so they let Eve out, and that's how Adam and Eve meet outside. And it's not for lack of trying. I mean, we have I have spoken to so many people who are like, I'm on a wait list for 3 months to get this cat into a vet. And so they're like, I have to let them out. They're driving me crazy. So they'll have like two or three litters before they actually get to that vet appointment. And so we have a real breakdown in how we think about our companion animals and especially our cats. And we need to really try and work on some systems to be able to do a higher volume spay-neuter initiative for our cats so that then we can get the population under control. And much of the work that I've done over the past 30 years, especially in Massachusetts, we've really gotten to the point where we're at like a maintenance level where we have pockets of areas that need special treatment, but for, you know, spay-neuter access to care. But in general, Massachusetts and most of New England, they're in pretty good shape. And
that's good.
It's expensive. Don't get me wrong. Vet care is expensive, but we have enough supportive services in those communities, I think, to be able to really help and provide those necessary services to cats. But there's a lot to it. Definitely.
Definitely. And when my mom ran the Humane Society of Lancaster, South Carolina, she had a partner, a veterinary partner, where they did the vouchers. So people could get spays and neuters for a reduced rate. Unfortunately, she passed away at the end of 24. So we've got a big hole here in Lancaster.
No.
There's other rescues, but I don't know if everybody does the spay neuter run. My mom used to be the one that drove them to get spayed and neutered. And there is a low-cost program in Charlotte, but that's 30 miles away, and there's a long wait list for those $25 spay and neuters.
Yeah, and, you know, voucher programs are a labor of love, and, you know, it sounds like you're now have an area where it's really missing out, and unfortunately, the community's having to work hard to figure out a way to, you know, afford those surgeries. It's a real challenge if the folks that own cats can't afford to get them spayed or neutered. It's not that they don't want to. You know, sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, well, if they can't afford to get their cat to the vet and get their cat spayed or neutered, then they shouldn't have a cat.
Yeah, but that's not the truth.
Right. There's so many benefits to having a pet that I think we need to try and rethink our supportive systems that are out there. And I tell people, too, that if they have an opportunity to get access to like pet food at a food pantry, to take advantage of that opportunity, but then save that money that you would have spent on the pet food, you know, for a veterinary fund.
Definitely.
And so try to be disciplined about things and think creatively about how you can raise some money for being able to afford those spay neuter services that are so critical for for cats in all across the country.
All vet services are important, but the spay neuter in particular, like you said, they maybe let the cat out and she has two litters, and then those cats have two litters, and then so on and so on. And that's how we get the huge populations out there. And, you know, there's not enough resources. They're out there or they're hungry. It's just cruel.
Right. Right. And I don't want to bottle feed kittens at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know about you, but I, for me, the best scenario is to not have any kittens born outside.
Agreed.
And that is what we're striving for. I know that there are a lot of people that they find kittens, they don't know what to do with them, or they do bring them in and they do, you know, nurse them up to 8 weeks of age and then they give them away to friends. But then there's an additional cost there because those friends have to get the cat spayed or neutered too. So, you know, Care Credit, which is a pet insurance company, they did a ranking of the states that have the most expensive spay neuter charges. And so, you know, you can easily search for that on the internet and it'll give you an estimate of what you need to think about that you're going to have to spend on getting your cat or dog spayed or neutered, which, you know, it's a big investment. That's for sure.
It is. And call around, even if you've got more than, we only have one vet here, but if you've got more, call around. Because I know when I lived in Los Angeles, the law went into effect. Spay and neuters are mandatory unless you're a breeder and a licensed breeder. And one of the vet's offices raised their rate from like $79 to $350 for a spay, just because they could. But not all the vet's offices did that. So you really have to call around. Don't just take the first price, unless it's a good one. You know, make sure that you've got a good rate that you can afford. There's other pet insurance companies too. I wasn't sure if pet insurance actually covers the spays and neuters. Do they, Stacey?
Great question. And something you should definitely look into and check if you are going down that pet insurance. So I would say there is a percentage of them that will cover the spay neuter, but many of these pet insurance companies are affiliated with adoption programs. And so those cats are and kittens are already spayed and neutered. And so some of the representatives that I have spoken to from the pet insurance industry, they don't have spay neuter listed because they're making an assumption that the kittens and the cats are already spayed and neutered. So it is an additional cost on the individual. And so definitely if you have a kitten or a cat that is not spayed and neutered and you have an interest in getting pet insurance, it does exist. Yeah. But you just need to check because there's a handful of providers that do offer coverage for the spay neuter cost, but not all of them.
Another thing I learned too, I had someone on from MetLife Pet Insurance on my podcast last year, Brian. And everybody thinks, oh, I have two cats, I have to have two policies. No, you get an addendum to add the second cat, and it's a lot less expensive than having two policies. So really check into that. I also noticed that the terminology for outdoor cats, ferals, and strays has changed. You guys call them neighborhood cats now. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we call them neighborhood cats, or we'll call them community cats, because when you use the word feral, that means born in the wild. And so that's more of a behavior. So back in the 90s, when I first started out, the intention was we would trap and rescue friendly cats on the assumption that they've been abandoned. And then the ones that were really, really shy and have a really, you know, sort of hidden, they like to be hidden disposition, and they're trapped, we would put them back as feral. And we use the behavior as the determinant for who, what cat goes back versus what. But then in Newburyport, when we had 300 cats on the waterfront, we had one cat named Mickey. And Mickey was dog-like. He was the friendliest cat around. He was everybody's buddy. But he was the glue that held the colony of cats on the waterfront together. And then in the wintertime, he would go uptown to the post office, and he would winter with another group of cats.
Oh my
gosh.
And so
he almost like made the rounds. He was like the mascot for the whole area.
And that's funny.
You know, we all thought, oh, but he's friendly. We should take him in. But he was really, you know, he really loved being outside and being part of the community, and everybody loved him. And so we made an intentional decision back then as a committee to leave him outside until he was about 16 years of age. And then, so, you know, just trying to think about community cats. Feral is a behavior, but community cats are really four paws on the ground, outdoors. And, you know, if they're not spayed or neutered, they're contributing to overpopulation. So it could be owned cat. It could be a feral cat. It could be, you know, an indoor outdoor cat. And it could be a cat that's being fed by 10 people. It could be a cat that's fed by two people. So it's pretty much just any cat that's outside that's either contributing or not contributing to the cat overpopulation crisis that we live in. And that's the population of cats that we really want to focus our efforts on.
As you are out there and you do the trapping, have you ever trapped a cat that belongs to someone?
So yes, that does happen. And it happened to us in Massachusetts. We have the organization, the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, has monthly spay-neuter clinics for community cats. So it's any cat in a trap gets spay-neutered for free. It's all volunteer-run, et cetera. And but one year back in the 90s, we did trap a cat that was owned, and it ended up being returned with an ear tip. And the person was very concerned about that. So we now ask that if there is a cat out there with that's friendly in any way, shape, or form, we will ask that they put a paper collar on the cat for a week or two and say, does anybody own me? And please call me to let me know, or is anybody feeding me? So on the Community Cats Central website, we have a paper collar template people can download and print out and put it on the cat. Then if it falls off, it falls off. You just put another one on. And in about 80% of those cases, you will get a phone call from somebody saying, yo, I got Fluffy. You got Fluffy. You know, what'd you put a collar on Fluffy, you know, for? And so that's a way to connect and understand who's also taking care of the cat and understand what the best outcome and pathway is. And then if you don't get a response for, you know, a couple of weeks, then you take a rescue pathway for that cat.
If I ever got a response and the person said, go ahead, spay neuter, do you do it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes, definitely. Yeah. And honestly, you know, in most cases, we would certainly strongly advocate that the cat got spayed and neutered, most likely the cat, you know, they just couldn't afford it. Or a lot of people will say, oh, if I got the cat spayed or neutered, I would take that cat in. And so they get sort of absorbed into the family household. So there's a lot of opportunities there. In during COVID, there was a lawyer who started working out of his house. And then he saw on his porch, there were a couple of cats there. And he's like, what are you doing here? I have no idea. You know, who are you? And so he started feeding them. And then he did the collar on one of the cats. And it turned out there were six other neighbors also feeding the cats.
Oh, my gosh.
And it turned out it was like a group of like eight cats. And they all during COVID, you know, that was a tough time. Everybody was isolated. So they all started.
And broke.
Right. So they all got together. They pooled their money together. They trapped the cats. They got them spayed and neutered. They got them ear tipped. But then they made friends. So then they started having barbecues outside and doing social stuff together.
Nice.
So those cats really helped the neighborhood kind of weather the storm of COVID.
Sure. That's amazing.
That's a really nice story. Yeah.
We have to take a quick break, but of course I have more questions for you. And we'll be right back after this quick message.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. Excuse my itching. Wonder why I'm itching. I live with 16 cats. Don't try this at home. They're all spayed and neutered, thankfully. But I do have a cat that came to me as a feral. I don't think he really was because he's so loving now. But he was scared for the first 9 months. He doesn't even have an ear tip, but they did neuter him. They didn't let him back outside because he has FIV. I had somebody else on my podcast a couple of weeks ago that said, well, you really can let them back out. So what do you guys do in that situation?
So when an outdoor cat is trapped and brought in with the intention of being returned back to the colony or back to its original area, we don't recommend testing for FIV or feline leukemia. We just recommend that they get a distemper vaccine, a rabies vaccine, spayed or neutered, and an ear tip. If the cat looks good and is healthy, then the cost of those tests outweigh the benefit because you could apply those funds to more spay neuter, otherwise. So if the cat appears healthy, so we wouldn't know if a cat was FIV positive or not. Now, if there's a cat that comes in with a lot of bite wounds and would need to be quarantined and tested positive, then we would, depending on the situation and the scenario, I don't have any problems returning an FIV positive cat back outdoors. I also don't have any problems returning a feline leukemia positive cat back outdoors as long as they are healthy, as long as their coat is good, their wellness, and they have a dedicated feeder that's willing to monitor their health and well-being. And that's the dream for us for all of the areas where cats are being cared for outdoors, is that somebody is doing TNRM, manage. So you really, ideally in our dream world, we want people to like go, oh, there's Fluffy and there's Julie and there's Sally and there's, Bob or
and
whatever.
And know the cats.
And know the cats. And then have the resource to be able to reach out locally if something, if one of them is injured or is not feeling well. So, to the best of our efforts, we do want some eyes to be kept on those cats that are outside. We understand we can't watch them all the time. But with regards to a positive test, it's pretty much of a non-issue with regards to our outdoor cats. Really, the best disease prevention is spaying and neutering the cats, because most of disease is spread in utero. So right. It's from mom to kitten. It is, and it's from fighting with unneutered cats.
The males fighting for females. Yep.
So if we get everybody spayed and neutered, all of that stuff gets reduced significantly.
Well, I'm not sure. I got him from Greenville, South Carolina. I'm not sure why they went ahead and tested him. I'm grateful because he's a sweetheart and he's really happy inside and he loves all my other cats. But theoretically, he could have been let back out and been okay. So how do you get to know like the personality of a group of cats? Does somebody observe them? Like, how did you know that cat was going from colony to colony?
Right. So that was done through the paper collar. So having the paper collar, then there's got to be one identified person who's like, I'll be the chief receiver of this. I've put my phone number on the collar. And then you've got them all sort of collaborated around that way. And it's funny because just the other night, a neighborhood cat, my daughter just moved into a new apartment. And so her cat was on one point of the slider and there's another cat on the other side. And she's like, there's a cat right there. And it turns out like it's Milo. Everybody knows it's Milo in the neighborhood. And so, you know, they had to text the landlord and because my daughter is a big cat lover and she's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, are we going to have another cat? And they said, no, it's Milo. He goes in and out of everybody's place and that kind of thing. And so, you know, truly understanding, I think we worry that when cats are out there that nobody is caring for them. But in reality, I think it's 50 or 60% of people are feeding cats, but they're not telling anyone that they're doing it. And so I think that they are being cared for. So we just need to believe in that. And then, but also create those connections, because there are times where cats will be hit by a car and will need several thousand dollars worth of veterinary care. Well, a tribe is better than one person being responsible for that cost.
Yeah.
So if there's 10 families who can divide the cost versus one person. So let's create that community earlier rather than later.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, and then everybody just shares the personalities and gets to know them.
Personalities. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I used to live in a neighborhood where one of the neighbors let the cat out. She actually put a little charm on the collar that said, don't feed me, because her cat was getting fat with everybody feeding her.
Yeah, right. And I was just reading too, you know, some people are using air tags for their cats. And there's pluses and minuses to that. But some trappers have used that with friendly mom cats to be able to find the kittens. So if they've got a friendly mom cat and they're trying to locate the kittens, they put air tag and that will take them back to the kittens.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, that's the great thing right now with trapping is there's so many cool tools, you know, between cameras and timed traps and drop traps and sensors, and you can do remote trapping, but you're monitoring the trap, but you're not like sitting out there freezing. You know, you've got a camera there that will then, you know, release the trap. So there's a lot of great ways to be able to trap more efficiently.
So the goal really, when you're doing the spay and neuter, you want to be out there, you want to see the clouder atrophy,
mm-hmm.
because there's no more new babies. So eventually you're hoping the clouder just goes away on its own. Is that correct?
Yeah. So in Newburyport in 1992, we started out with 300 cats, 14 feeding stations. And by 2008, the last feeding station was closed and the last cat had since passed away. So, and it continues to this day. We do not have we have maybe some spots stuff, but it's honestly, we do not have like any sort of dedicated TNR going on in that community because
nice.
It's not necessary. We have a open admission shelter that will take in any folks in the community that are stressed and they need to surrender. But on a monthly basis, that maybe is 10 cats. We really are supporting above and beyond our service area for about 90% of the cats that we take into our adoption program.
Wow. 10 cats. If we could all get down to that, that would be amazing. It really would. Gosh, I had another question I wanted to ask you, and it's kind of left my mind, but it'll come back. So your group has kind of changed names. You were always Community Cats Podcast. What's happened with you guys?
So now, starting in 2026, we are now called Community Cat Central.
Love it.
And it is the place for all kinds of education, live education, virtual. It's all virtual, on demand. We have a whole batch of certification programs. So if you want to learn how to get TNR certified, you can take a monthly class and it'll go through, and it'll show you all of the things that you need to know in order to get TNR certified. We have other certifications. We have surrender prevention certification.
I have that one.
And return to home certification. And in addition to, we have a kitten conference, cat conference.
Yeah, you just had that this past weekend.
Yep. And United Spay Alliance conference. We have Behavior Day. And we have a sort of feline leukemia and FIP day. And then we still have the podcast, too, which is over 600 episodes. And that's, you know, something folks can listen to as they're driving around town or whatever. Really, we just want to empower people to be able to turn their passion for cats into action. And so we have community cat pass holders, and which, you know, Rita, you're
wonderful
to be part of those. So that's great. And that means you get access to anything and everything that we put out there. And then we have also, we teach a course, a community cat certification management course, and that's through the University of the Pacific at Bernard College. So we want to elevate the status of folks that are out there helping cats. We want to be able to give them the tools to be able to create more spay-neuter. You know, say you are in like, you know, a town where there's sort of a spay-neuter desert going on, veterinary care desert. So we want to try and empower people to be able to start up some programs where they can bring some more veterinary care into the community. Again, you know, if folks reach out to us and they have a concern, a problem, a question, we're here to help, because at the end of the day, we want a more humane community for our cats. And, you know, it is decade of the cat, right?
Right. I know my former business partner used to say, if you love cats, you should be for TNR. If you hate cats, you should be for TNR if you don't want them hanging around your neighborhood, right?
Yep.
It's a positive thing for everyone, and as well as for the cats involved.
I agree with you 100%. And I've had this conversation with folks that may have initially been anti-TNR, and by the end, I think they understand it.
Yeah, I think it's been misunderstood for a long time. And I know here in Lancaster, they just recently got in a TNR group, which, you know, I live in a semi-rural area, so it's definitely needed out here. There's still a lot of countrified area. I live in semi-rural kind of area, and I've actually taken in three cats from outside in this neighborhood. I don't take in kittens anymore. I just can't. But that was before there was TNR. So they came to my doorstep and they were all sweet. I don't know how that happened because they were born outside, but they were all young and, you know, I love them all. I'm surprised Teddy's not sitting in my lap. She usually is. So I need to dig into some of those programs and get some more of those certifications. And I too want to understand TNR better. I'm not physically able to be the one out there, you know, climbing under the porches and getting the cats out, but I can certainly be an advocate.
Right, right. And part of what we like to do also is being, I don't know, sort of the dating service or the godparent. And we're trying to get like a situation like where, like you and I, we might not thrill to trapping, but yet we might be willing to assist with donating some cat food to a trapper. Or maybe I trapped 20 years ago and I have three traps in my garage that I have no desire to touch ever again, but somebody else might have a use for them. So we're trying to think of how do we do some mutual aid systems where we're able to, so I put out there that I've got three traps in my garage that I haven't touched in 10 years. You know, who wants them? I'm in this state, I'm in this location, and be able to put that out and someone else can grab it. So it's, you know, it's sort of like a little, I don't know, a swap thing or whatever.
Right. I like that.
And because I'm, you know, I'm not in a position to have a lot of cats. I travel a lot, but there are people there that need financial assistance to be able to take care of their cats. And so I sort of think of myself as like a godparent. And there are other people who have reached out to me and said, oh, I heard so-and-so on the podcast. How can I help them?
I love that.
So just trying to figure out how to have some mutual aid and sharing, because it does take a village to make things happen.
It really does. And especially during the COVID time, I had 19 cats at that time. Now, I had had a thriving business before COVID, so I didn't take them in. I wasn't irresponsible acquiring 19 cats, but it was hard during COVID to keep it up. And at that time, I had started a nonprofit, which is defunct now. But thanks to the generosity of people who donated and also did some of my services, I was able to keep taking care of them until I became a little more solvent. So I'm 16 now. And no, don't send me anymore.
Solid number.
I'm good. Everybody gets along, and integration is really easy for me, but I don't want to upset the apple cart and maybe end up with a not great situation. Not that I couldn't handle it. I'm a behaviorist, but you know, I'm older now, 65 versus I started all this when I was in my 40s. There's a big energy difference and flexibility difference, certain things I can't do. But a lot of people I know ask, especially my clients, you know, how can I help? Well, this is how you can help. Go and visit. Is your website still communitycatspodcast.org?
Well, communitycatspodcast.com or communitycatscentral.com will take you to the same place, and you can go and you can search through there and, you know, sign up for our educational programs. We do have a sponsorship opportunity. So if you want to like sponsor some scholarships, you can do that for other people to be able to attend, because we are also about, you know, I don't know who's out there in the virtual world, and I don't want to know. The door is wide open, right? And so, you know, if there are folks out there that are unsure about, you know, how to approach cat situations in their community, they're welcome. Everybody is welcome to come and listen. And I don't want even $10 to stop somebody from being part of our, so we're very eager to have scholarships. We have people who will reach out to us and say, I'll buy a trap. You know, for somebody, will create opportunities for distributing traps. Tomahawk Live Trap also donates a trap. We have 10 live TNR sessions.
And I didn't know that.
And they donate a trap, and we do cat trivia, and we do raffles. And so we just try to make it all work. But, you know, if somebody wants to contribute in some way, they want to be like buddied up with another colony, like be sponsor a colony or something like that. We have a list of people who are supporting colonies.
I love that.
And we have a gentleman, it's like Abbey Road Cats. He has his own little website. So we have a listing of some folks who have their own sort of support options that they need. So yeah, just reach out. I can always make anything happen. So if you're willing to contribute, we'll make it work for sure.
I love that. I didn't know you even had that kind of program. So this is great for getting that information out. I also love that you mentioned about the cat food. My cats are picky, and every now and then they won't eat something. I'm like, what do I do with all this cat food? I don't want to waste it. I know we have, there's a bin at the tractor supply up here where you can put the food in and the people who need it take it. But not every community even has that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually president of a group called Positive Pantry, and their website's positivepantry.org, P-A-W. And we cover Massachusetts and Vermont with pet food. So again, falling back on that, like if people are finding it financially difficult to provide for their pets, you know, at least they can get pet food. And, you know, and if, and then, you know, then they can pay their other bills, but, or they get the pet food and then they save that money in the little coffee can so that they've got some money for veterinary care.
And a little extra money. Yeah. Don't forget that cat litter.
Yep.
My cat litter costs me almost as much as the cat food these days.
I know.
So do you have any last words of wisdom for our listeners out there, or something that you'd like to share that we didn't bring up?
Yeah. Well, again, Rita, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. It's always a privilege to chat with you. And, you know, for your listeners who are out there, I got involved in this space just by donating one bag of litter and one bag of cat food. You know, 20-pound bags. I thought I was going to take care of a shelter for like a week's time when I went in there, and they'd just taken in 60-plus cats from a hoarding situation. And
Whoa.
So I learned very quickly that that was not going to go very far. And I took baby steps forward to become more and more involved. And if you are interested in really helping elevate the health and well-being of cats in your community and you're passionate about it, please reach out to your local organization. If you have a special skill that you want to share, if you want to do fundraising, for every trapper out there, you need 4 people fundraising. That was my ratio.
Really?
So if you are interested in fundraising, you don't have to be out there, again, climbing under the shed. You know, you can fundraise if you like. If you're crafty and you want to make cat toys, we had a woman make cat toys for us. She sold $10,000 worth of cat toys every year.
Wow.
As a fundraiser for the organization that I worked with back in the 90s. And so, you know, be creative and be willing to put your name out and support. And again, if you can't find a place, you can always reach out to me at Stacy@communitycatscentral.com. Just email me, because I am the great feline connector, and I am happy to get you engaged, because I do not want one person who wants to be involved in this solution to be left behind.
And it's true, a lot of people don't know how. So, Stacy, you've become one of the leading advocates for cats everywhere, not just TNR, but just for cats in general. You were talking about people making cat toys. I had a lady make me 20 of those little knitted cat balls with catnip in them because she knew I had that many cats. And I thought that was just so sweet. I wanted to pay her, but she wouldn't let me. So however you can help, it will be appreciated. And Stacy, I hope you come back again as some of your other programs expand more. We definitely want to hear about anything new happening with CommunityCatsCentral.com. And of course, I want to thank Mark Winter, as always, for giving me this spot on Pet Life Radio. I can't tell you how much it's appreciated. And don't forget, everyone, every day is Catter Day. We'll be back for another episode soon.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.